From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right to our callers in just a moment, but I wanted to mention how important it is for you to stand with this ministry because truth matters. Of course, truth is an aspect of the nature of God. Christianity is not true because it works. That's pragmatism. It's not true because it feels right. That's subjectivism. It's not true because it's my truth. That's relativism. Christianity is true because it is anchored in the person of Christ. Furthermore, it's important to recognize that truth is anything that corresponds to reality. As such, truth does not yield to the size and strength of the latest lobby group. Nor is truth merely a matter of preference or opinion. Truth is true, even if everyone denies it, and a lie, even if everybody affirms it. And truth, of course, is essential to a realistic worldview. When sophistry, sensationalism, when superstition, when they together sabotage truth, our view of reality becomes seriously skewed. And that is precisely what is happening today with prophecy pundits who are seriously skewing the reality of truth in the minds of so many because they pretend that their truth comes from the truth, the final court of arbitration, when in fact it comes from their own subjective flights of fancy. And in the end, while sensationalism prevails for a moment, the Savior's name in the end will be dragged through the mud. And that is why it is so important for you to take this opportunity to equip yourself to always be ready to give an answer. Again, we do what we do because truth matters. We don't do what we do because it's politically correct. We don't do what we do because it's popular. We don't do what we do to gain a bigger platform. We do what we do because over the years, I have recognized that people are making life decisions on the basis of the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. Ideas have consequences. We'll go right now to the phone calls. First up, I want to talk to John, listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, John.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm well. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, too. Just want to let you know that I've been listening to your program since 1988, 5 days a week.
Wow, thank you.
And my pleasure. And you spoke here one time at the Curry Barracks, and I was in attendance there. And I also bought your book, Christianity in Crisis.
Mm.
That was amazing. That it was like I was being shot out of a cannon with my faith.
Wow.
And I really, you know, that is so foundational for a lot of believers to have discernment, to understand about the kingdom of the cults and about these false preachers.
Well, thank you for the encouragement, John. It means the world to me.
A question I have for you, Hank, is Joshua 1, verse 5. Now, the Lord is speaking to Israel. Now, can we take that verse personally? I will never leave you nor forsake you. When he's speaking to Israel, can we take that personally, or is it strictly to the land of Israel?
Well, this is given within the context of a historical narrative, so it is directed in a very poignant fashion to a person. As I was with Moses, so I too will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So this has ramifications for Joshua, it has ramifications for Israel, but in principle, it certainly has ramifications for us as well. So imbued in this promise to a specific people and a specific person is a promise to us as those who are heirs of the promise, those of us who are in reality rightly called true Israel. And remember in the New Testament, the very language that is used for Old Testament Israel is recapitulated and used for us. We are priests. We are a holy nation. We're a royal priesthood. We're called out. So in principle, this does apply specifically and directly to us, although this is given in a historical perspective to a person and a people.
Perfect. That's what I thought, Hank. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Linda. She's listening in Ohio. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
My sister and I were talking one day. We were talking about the possibility of when Jesus said that he would be dead for 3 days, and they were not allowed to do anything on the Sabbath. Well, is it a possibility that God did raise Jesus prior to the 3 days, and that he was walking the earth, and by the time they could get to the Sabbath, or the day after the Sabbath was the third day when they were allowed to do things?
No, the text specifically tells us that Jesus rose on the third day, not before the third day nor after the third day, but rather Matthew 16 tells us specifically that Jesus rose on the third day. And I think it's important, too, to recognize the days have significance. Jesus died on Passover Day or Friday, to fulfill the conditions of being our Paschal or our Passover lamb. Also recognize that imbued in the whole chronology is a Jesus who fulfills all the types and shadows, and therefore a Jesus in whom we can have our Sabbath rest. The text tells us, the gospel specifically, they say that he died and was buried the day before the Sabbath, or Friday, and rose on the day after the Sabbath, or on Sunday. So I think we have to take the text at face value and then see the beauty that is imbued in the text from a symbolic standpoint, because Jesus is the Passover lamb. And from that point on, no longer is Passover meaningful except in a historical perspective. So we don't, as Christians, celebrate Passover. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me, because the types and shadows of temple, priest, and sacrifice are fulfilled in his sacrifice on the cross. Therefore, Jesus on the cross could say, it is finished, or tetelestai, secular Koine Greek, the language of the day, saying, in essence, that the debt is paid in full.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much, and God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Anna Marie. She's listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Anna Marie.
Thank you for taking my call. I was reading in First Samuel chapter 28, and where God did not answer Saul anymore, so he consulted a medium, which brought up Samuel. Was this really Samuel, or was this a demon looking like Samuel because God didn't want to answer Saul anymore?
Well, I don't think there's any question whatsoever that this was Samuel. If you read the account, it is clearly Samuel who is brought back. But this is not done by the witch of Endor. This is done in spite of the witch of Endor. And that is why she is so amazed and also frightened when Samuel appears. So this is not normative. This is a sovereign act of God to judge the first king of Israel.
I'm glad you said that, because my friend said to me, God doesn't call people back out of paradise. And I said, well, what about the transfiguration, you know, when Elijah and Moses came up? And he said, well, that's different, you know. But I do believe that it was an act of God in spite of that medium.
Yeah, I think that's right. And remember, I use the word normative. Your friend is partially right in saying that God does not do this on a regular basis. So when it does happen, such as what you find in 1 Samuel 28 or on the Mount of Transfiguration, these are not normative experiences.
Right. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Take more of your questions on the other side of the break. Please don't touch that dial.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one. Part one equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part two explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll get right back to our phone callers. Next up is Gail. She's listening in Tracy, California. Hi, Gail.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Good talking to you.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I don't currently have a church home, and I kind of let, you know, family activities and things like that kind of stop me from or prevent me from going to church on a regular basis, but I still wanted to pay my tithing. And I was wondering, if I don't have a church home, how do you still fulfill that part? If, you know, how can you still do that? Or should I just find a church home?
Well, I think you should find a church home. Do not neglect the gathering of yourselves together, as is the custom of some. There's a real necessity for this, Gail. First of all, you want to make sure that you recognize that when you became a believer, you weren't born again as a Lone Ranger Christian. You're born into a family. And that family, the universal Church of God, is expressed in local congregations. So you want to find a congregation which you can worship God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word, a congregation in which you can experience genuine oneness with other brothers and sisters who need you as much as you need them, and then a church in which you're being equipped to communicate what you believe and why you believe. In other words, you need to find a healthy, well-balanced church. So since you're starting at square zero, I'd love to give you some recommendations of churches in your area if you want to hang on. In the meantime, yeah, I mean, you want to make sure that you use your resources in a prudent way, which is to say, you want to look for ministries that are really making a difference. If you're going to make an investment in a company because you wanted to make a wise stock purchase, you would really do some due diligence or have someone do some due diligence for you so that there's a good return on your investment. I think the same thing is true from a spiritual standpoint. You want to invest in ministries or organizations which are really making a difference for time and for eternity, because we are, at the end of the day, going to be called into account for what we did with our time, our talent, and our treasure.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think I haven't really found a church home yet because, I mean, I've been around the church all my life, but I just in the past couple of years, I've really been trying to figure out what it is that I, you know, where I stand, like what I believe, and, you know, and I've been tending to gear more toward like non-denominational churches, and I listen to a lot of course, you know, top church from the, you know, that's on, that has a broadcast either on TV or on the radio, but I'm still kind of trying to find my way, basically.
So. Yeah, and part of that, Gail, I think it's important for you to recognize what you're looking for. He who aims at nothing invariably hits it, right? So you don't want to shoot the arrow and then draw the bullseye around where it lands. You want to figure out where the bullseye is to start with. And so it's important at this stage of your life to know the very things that you're seeking to know. But in doing that, do remember that in essentials, there has to be unity, non-essentials, liberty, and all things charity. We can disagree on some of the secondary issues, but in the essentials, we stand shoulder to shoulder. So even though we disagree on some of the secondary issues, we recognize that this is an area that we can have the experience of iron sharpening iron. And in the process, together we're growing.
Right. And I think that's kind of where I am. I mean, I feel that religion is more man-made. You know, I tend to kind of go toward, you know, as long as you're reading the Bible and I can understand, you know, it's relatable to me, you know, and reading the Bible, you're reading from the same doctrine that I'm reading from. And there is some, of course, like you said, there's going to be some disagreement in some of the, I guess, the activities of the church, you know. But as long as they're, on the whole, we agree, you know.
On the essentials of the historic Christian faith, remember that Jesus Christ is building a bride. And you can think about this as a mosaic or a temple. However you think about it, you're one of the stones. You're one of those stones in the mosaic. You're one of the stones in the temple. But he's building a bride, and you're part of that process. So don't try to go it alone. You want to be part of a healthy, well-balanced church.
Mm-hmm. And so just going back to, so in the meantime, as far as, is that considered tithing if you're contributing to, like, some of the top ministries or...
Well, I wouldn't look at it necessarily in a legalistic way. I mean, the idea, Gail, is to hold what you have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. So you want to invest in those ministries that are really making a difference, really touching the lives of people for time and for eternity, building the body of Christ, giving people an eternal perspective. Look for ministries like that to invest in. And then the thing that you do as you give is you find out that you can never outgive the Lord. So tithing becomes the training wheels for giving.
Right, right. All right. Thank you very much.
Bless you, Gail. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Louise, listening on Summer Hill, Illinois. Hi, Louise.
Well, hi, Hank. I've got a question, and my husband and I have been going over for several weeks, and we've been trying to get a hold of you. We've got several commentaries, even Wycliffe and all that, but we live in a small country towns and stuff, not much. What we want to know, and we understand, I don't understand persecution, but I understand the word when he says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. How is Jesus saying that to him? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. He was like a terrorist, and he reveled in persecuting children and men and women and killing people and everything. What's Jesus mean? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. We understand what goads are because we've grown up here around. You know, you herd cattle and we got hogs and stuff and everything, but there's something there. It's hard for you to kick against the goats. What does he mean? It is hard. And how's he saying it? I don't think it's sarcasm or anything, but...
Well, remember, metaphors do not walk on all fours. Metaphors are figures of speech, and they have sharp teeth. They're pointing to a reality. So if I say it's raining cats and dogs, you don't say, you know, I work on a farm and I know about cats and dogs, and golly, raining cats and dogs falling out of the sky. I mean, you don't think that way. You say this is a metaphor which is intending to communicate that it's raining hard. And the same thing's going on in this particular context. The idea of the metaphor is to say to a human being who is breathing wrathful insults and vile persecution is being exacted upon people at his hand, it is saying to that person, you are fighting against God. It's hard for you to fight against God. So he's using a metaphor that would be a familiar metaphor for someone who is educated in the Greek language. So there are metaphors that don't translate from one culture to another culture or from one discipline to another discipline, but Paul is using metaphorical language with King Agrippa, and of course Christ here, who's being quoted, is in essence being quoted using a metaphor that very clearly is letting Paul know that this is not the arm of flesh he's fighting. Ultimately, he's fighting the arm of God.
So can we come to some understanding of Paul's character with this? Is this something we should understand that was in Paul that Jesus Christ was addressing?
Well, you got to remember that Paul is reiterating something in this particular context. He's recommunicating something that happened before. He's talking to King Agrippa about an experience that he had.
Jesus says it's hard for you to kick against the goads.
Right. But remember, what's going on here, Louise, is that Paul is before King Agrippa. And Paul is now communicating the experience of meeting Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus.
Well, I'm looking at when Paul slayed, and it says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I'm Jesus. You're persecuting me. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." And I'm trying to figure out what I feel like there's something there that I'm missing. Like, I know it's not sarcasm, but, is there a character in Paul that I should get from Jesus addressing him and saying it's hard for you? Is there something revealed there?
Well, yeah. I mean, what's going on here is not difficult to understand. What's going on here ultimately is Paul is explaining to King Agrippa what happened on the road to Damascus and how Jesus Christ confronted him and let him know that he was not fighting against mere men, but he was fighting against God. So he's communicating a gospel to King Agrippa in language that King Agrippa could relate to. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you right here tomorrow with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.